most people are their religion because of their parents. Your mom is Catholic, your dad is Catholic, so you're a Catholic. Or your mom is Baptist, so you're Baptist, your mom is Muslim. There's no reason to be Catholic except for one. You have to deeply believe this. There's only one reason to be Catholic, and that's because it's true. It's true historically. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. And scientifically, we can see how the universe is 13.7 billion years old. And this is confirmed by NASA using the WMAP satellite. There was nothing, existed nothing, 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 nothing. 13.7 billion years ago, there was a massive explosion from something, and not just something. If you know explosion, if I were to kick over all these chairs, they would not land neatly in a row. They would just be chaos. But this explosion brought order. Order, and not just order, precise order. All this, what looks like chaos, is well-defined systems. If I were to be stabbed, I would have blood gushing everywhere and I would die. Why? Because of the circulatory system. It might look like chaos, but all these guts in here, they make sense and they're well-defined and designed. There's purpose in all of these patterns. If the air were not to work like air works, and the respiratory system of my lungs, they are all so perfectly united. If the gravitational constant would just be off by 1/1000th of a percent, there would be no life on Earth, let alone intelligent life. But just as there are laws that govern nature, that you can be assured there's a creator, this creator is all powerful, there's also laws that govern humanity. There's also laws that govern morality. And just as if we follow the laws of nature, nature will work beautifully, things will behave properly, so too God has laid a law on your heart. We call this the moral law, that makes sense. And as long as we follow the moral law, we will have peace in our souls and peace in society. So when we use the word sin, it is not, although it is a religious term, what we mean by that is a disordered action. God created the universe to be ordered. He designed humanity to be ordered. So when we say a sin, Catechism of the Catholic Church says it's a disordered action. It's also an offense against human reason. And because God has ordered the world to be such, it is an offense against God. Very important to note, because we often think that sin is an arbitrary thing. We hear things that are becoming popular in the media, and people will say, well, the Bible says that marriage is between one man and one woman. That's not why certain sins are disordered actions. I don't need the Bible to tell me what is right and what is wrong. I should know from human reason that it is wrong to slap this kid upside the head, even though he's my own offspring, so I should have some sense of authority over him. I should know that is wrong from human reason. And when I do things that are disordered actions, there's also an impact that happens inside of me. A lot of times when you meet people who are hostile to the Catholic faith, Fulton Sheen says, don't so much listen to what they're saying, but why are they saying it? Why are they acting in this hostile manner? Like, there's Jehovah's Witnesses out there, and I'm not going to be like, dang, you Jehovah's Witnesses ruin everything in society, you bigots. I could care less about Jehovah's Witnesses. Why are there some people who are so hostile towards Catholicism and right reason and right order? When we do disordered actions, it causes disorder in here. It causes disorder in our hearts. Everybody in here has concupiscence. So that's a disordered attraction to do what is wrong. And we have a threefold concupiscence. Everybody has this. The first concupiscence is pride of life. You have the disordered inclination to treat other people badly to make yourself feel better about yourself. So often, if you're good at academics, you will tease somebody who's not, and you'll say, well, they're jocks. We tend to beat people up. If you're a good athlete, you tend to talk badly about other people and you say, they're nerds. Pride of life. That's the first type. We have to be aware of this. I have concupiscence called concupiscence of the flesh. So that is what it sounds like. I have a disordered inclination to misuse my appetites, whether that be food or your sexual appetites. So you have to be aware of that. Why? The only way to obtain the grace and the virtue of purity, you have to have the mother of all virtues, which is humility. What is humility? It's the truth about who I am and the truth about who God is. Admitting to yourself, I have a weakness. St. Alphonsus, Doctor of Moral Theology, says, the greatest way to obtain the virtue of purity is humility. And what does that mean? In the face of temptation, you don't stay and fight, you run. You avoid those near occasions of sin. Just giving you a little heads up. He who stays and fights loses. He who runs lives to fight another day. It's kind of a funny saying. And then we also have concupiscence of the eyes. I see things that I want. I think that having those things will make me happy. You have a longing in your heart that can only be satisfied by God. I have concupiscence. When I continue to be inclined to something, I am likely to fall. It is inevitable unless I take advantage of this great grace and the mercy of God in confession. What happens in confession? How do I see confession? The devil tells us to hate confession. That's where you go to get punished. In confession, all your sins are forgiven. Every single one. It is forgiven. In the mind of God, it does not exist. Confession also gives you the grace to overcome your fault. So if you struggle with anger or with impiety or lust, in confession, God gives you the grace to overcome our bad tendencies. Also in confession, you receive the peace of God. A lot of times, sometimes in the sacraments, we go to Mass on a regular basis. We don't feel God's peace and God's mercy. But when we confess from the bottom of my hearts, you experience the extraordinary, overwhelming sense of God's presence. God forbid you ever commit a mortal sin. I pray that you don't. But if you did, you reject the kingdom of God. You reject your sonship. You're no longer a member of the body of Christ. You're no longer a temple of the Holy Spirit. Objectively, you are an heir to the kingdom of hell. You are under the dominion of Satan. I pray that never happens to you. But if it did, in the sacrament of confession, your sonship is renewed. Your membership into the body of Christ is made true. You are now a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you receive every single benefit of that. When you cry out to God, He truly is your Father, and He loves you. Jesus died on the cross so that you can confess. People who go to hell, and people do, don't go to hell because they sinned. That's not why. They go to hell because they failed to receive the eternal mercy of our Lord. Our Lord wants to forgive you and let it be gone forever. There are many people in heaven who've committed horrible sins. I think of Alessandro Serinelli. He's the man who stabbed St. Maria Goretti to death. He stabbed her 14 times in the chest. He killed a saint. He tried to rape a saint. And because of her intercession, he had a massive conversion. And now his cause for canonization is coming up. And he's in heaven. Why? Not because he never sinned, but because he received the unending mercy of Jesus Christ. If this is true, if this is where you receive your salvation after baptism, if you sin, if that's true, the devil hates confession. One of the ways we just mentioned, he's going to say, the priest is going to judge you. He's going to punish you. He's going to yell at you. That's the furthest thing from the truth. A good priest will say, thank God for your good confession. That's why they become ordained, so that they can bring the sheep back into the fold. But the devil will also say, and sometimes we even hear Catholic brothers and sisters say, that's not in the Bible. I confess my sins directly to God. Why do I have to go to a priest? And of course, I'm sure because you're such good Catholics, you know the verse where Jesus instituted confession. John chapter 20, verses 21, 22, and 23. First, he breathed on them. Breathe was nasty. Oh, Jesus, what are you doing that for? It's because it's calling to mind God the Father making Adam, and He breathes His Spirit into them and makes them a new life. And He says, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained. You need to have an answer when somebody says, why are you confessing to a priest? Why don't you confess directly to God? Because God, after He died on the cross, said to do it. In James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your sins to one another so that you can be healed. Another thing that the devil does, this is according to St. John Bosco. So St. John Bosco had a revelation. He was praying because he was sitting in the confessional and none of his boys, even though he had the sense that they were in mortal sin, none of them were coming in to confess. And so he prayed to God and he was given a vision. And it was revealed to him the traps that the devil uses to keep boys, in this case, because he was a pastor of boys, to keep them from going to confession. Or if they're going to go, to get them to make a sacrilegious confession. We're going to go through the steps to make a good confession. Step number one, you have to examine your conscience. I think we're pretty good at that. There's no problem there. I encourage you when you examine your conscience to invoke your guardian angel, to invoke the Virgin Mary, who will help you to see more clearly. She crushes the head of the serpent. We have to have contrition, and in confession, God is so merciful. You don't even have to be sorry because you've offended him. You just have to be sorry because you don't want the consequence of that. Now, here's where the devil begins to step in. We have to make a resolution to avoid that sin in the future. Got to make a resolution. And then here's the big one. So John Bosco said that boys often, but girls too, because I'm not singling out boys. John Bosco was a teacher of boys. Boys will hide their sins. So in confession, you have to confess. And I know you guys are saints, so you have no mortal sin. In confession, you have to list your mortal sins in kind and in number. And John Bosco, it was revealed to him when they would come into the confessional that they would hide their most embarrassing sin. And so because of that, none of their sins were forgiven. It's called a sacrilegious confession. And then the hardness of heart happens. You don't have to worry about that. When you go to confession, if you ever commit something so embarrassing, you have to think of these words. These are the words that our good fathers, our good priests will say to us. Through the ministry of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace, and I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Confession exists to take it away, not so that it will be a burden around your neck. When you go to confession, it's a sacrilegious confession to hide it, because here you're facing the infinite mercy of God, and you're not giving it to him. It's not because you're cheating or because God is angry. It's because you have to offer it to him, offer it to his heart in order to be engulfed in this mercy. So, of course, you have to, if you have mortal sin, confess them in kind and in number. Now, here's the biggest one that keeps people from making progress in the spiritual life. Are you ready for this? I'm going to read you something from the Catechism. Write this down. Catechism, paragraph 1458. Confession of everyday faults, venial sins, is strongly recommended by the Church. The regular confession of our venial sins helps us form our conscience, fight against evil tendencies, lets ourselves be healed by Christ, and progress in the life of the Spirit. By receiving more frequently through this sacrament the gift of the Father's mercy, we are spurred to be merciful as he is merciful. Some people will say, hey, you're being scrupulous. I'm not being scrupulous. I'm being delicate. Is it true that in the Mass your venial sins are forgiven? 100%. Your venial sins are forgiven. But what does the sacrament of confession do? It helps me to correct my faults. It gives me the grace to overcome them. If I go to Mass daily, it's all gone. But you know what I don't do? I don't think about it. I don't. It is better for my family and it's better for me to go into the confessional and say, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I snapped at my coworker three times. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I called my son low IQ 15 times. Because now I'm making a resolution to overcome it. I'm taking the time to make a good examination of conscience and to strive and overcome that. Now, in the sacrament of confession, when you have mortal sin, I said you had to mention them in kind and in number. Now, if you have no mortal sin, the church is saying, go to confession frequently. And I'm going to give you a tip. In order to be better, not to be scrupulous, but in order to be better, I personally try to confess my predominant venial sins in kind and in number. So when I go and I confess being short-tempered with my children, I try to say how many times so that the next time I go back, it's not like 15. I'm doing better, Father. It was only 8. Wow, you're still struggling, buddy. So our life is a lot like an airplane, a paper airplane. When you throw the paper airplane, Eventually, it's going to crash. Why? Because gravity pulls it down. Similarly, our concupiscence slowly pulls us down. Thomas Aquinas says that the effect of sin causes a greater inclination to sin, causes a hardness of heart, a weakening of the will, and a darkening of the intellect. So as I go on and I notice that I'm about to crash, I personally go to confession once a week. I try to go once a week. Cardinal Arenze, who is the prefect for the sacraments of divine worship, I have this on the internet. Type in confession, Cardinal Arenze. And he says that it's normal to go to confession once every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, in his exact words. Nobody's going to be mathematical about it. I've listened to the video so many times. But those who go to confession 2 weeks or 3 weeks, this is normal. This is good. This is healthy. And what I have found in my own life, if I've overcome struggles, I have noticed that if I confess before the plane hits the ground, it's as if I have a fresh wind and it keeps me afloat in God's grace. You have to ask yourself, how often do I go to confession? Do I confess as if I'm receiving the mercy of God, or do I see confession as if it's a scary place? This is what's going to make or break you, whether you continue your practice of the sacraments. Am I going to have a regular practice of confession? Now, we're going to go over an examination of conscience. I want you to write down these three categories of places that you need to examine that are outside of the usual Ten Commandments, okay? Because a lot of times, we don't view confession in the right way. We just look at the Ten Commandments, which is a good thing. You need to do that. But we need to examine also three other areas of our life. And we're going to call this a vocational discernment of our examination. So the first part, when you examine your conscience, what is your relationship like with God? Everything stems from this. In other words, what is my prayer life like? So that when I go into the confessional, forgive me, Father, for I have not been praying. I have not been praying morning prayer or evening prayer or whatever. What is your relationship in your prayer life like? It causes you to examine. Am I just saying the words? Am I trying to make an act of the will to make the words mean something? What is your relationship with God like? Second thing that you should examine vocationally, calling-wise. What is my relationship like with my family? Am I short-tempered with my parents? Do I do things the first time when they ask me? Am I loving to my siblings? A lot of times we overlook that we're so harsh with the people who are the closest to us. Very important. What is my relationship like with my family? If you become a nun or a priest, how are you living your vocation within the family of the church? And then finally, your last vocation is your job. Humility, humility, humility. We put on this mask that we're all perfect. No, everybody's broken. Everybody needs confession. Everybody needs it frequently. All right? So let's go ahead and conclude in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Eternal Father, we are truly sorry for all the sins that we commit against you, that go against your order. And in light of your Son's passion and death on the cross, that make his crucifixion more agonizing. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Blessed Mother, you who stood by the foot of the cross, you whose heart has swords piercing it, help us to love your Son with your heart. Help us to be consolers of his heart by doing God's will. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for watching this video. I really hope you enjoyed it. This is just one in a 6-part retreat that I gave. I'm going to be releasing these once a week for the next 6 weeks. So go ahead and share it now so that your family and friends don't get left behind. Also, hit subscribe because we have amazing productions coming up. We have a documentary on Saint Therese coming up. We have a documentary on the life of Mother Angelica. God bless you. God love you. And we'll see you very soon.